that as I went back to this, you know, how many of you have been Christians for more than 20 years? I mean, many of us, okay? So we read through these passages, and it's a challenge to me when I get into passages like the crucifixion, the end of, and the resurrection, and those situations, not to approach it as, oh, I already know this. And so I'm trying to, I step back and said, okay, now how would God have me to apply this in my own life? Three spiritual truths to consider. Remember the crucifixion. We talked about this passage, and even though Christ couldn't carry his own cross, now in his humanity, now in his deity, he could have totally brought the world as we know it to an end, and he still had those powers, but he was setting those aside. You know, there's a little feedback on the mic, so you might want to crank it back a little. Even though in his humanity he couldn't do that, that was a real blessing to me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, talks about a truth that we're not dealing with a God that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in like manner, tempted and tested as we are. He promises to help us, to help you and I carry our load. Okay? Now, when I think about that, I thought of these three questions. Do you know what it is to have more on your shoulders than you can bear? Anybody relate to that? I mean, I raised my hand on that one. I said, I can't do this. No, you can, because we can go to the God who understands. That's how I related. I was just sweet as I read this and said, wow, my Lord really, really knows what this is like. How about when we're absolutely helpless? How about when we're absolutely powerless? The truth is, we face times like that in our life. If you haven't, then you just haven't lived long enough. Okay, that's just the way it is. You do run into these situations that are very much like a Mack truck running over, so there's no way we're stopping things. In those situations, we can appeal to the Son of God who understands. I was encouraged. It was a great blessing to me personally. And a reminder, however, that when you look at Matthew chapter 11, I wrote this in the notes next to that verse. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And here's what reminds me of this. You understand this verse not only talks about how he is there to help, it says you and I need to go to him. You understand that? Look at what it says. Come to me. There are some in here that are facing problems, and they may be going horizontally to other people, but you got to go to God. You got to go personally to him and just say, Lord, here I am. I want to honor you in the midst of this. I want to do right before you in the midst of this. Take my yoke upon you. That's once again an indication that we are actively involved in saying, okay, I want to do this. I am not going to run from my problems. I'm going to embrace my problems, and I'm going to do it, Lord willing, in a way that brings you honor. And for I am gentle and lowly, and you will find rest for my souls. Number two, he promises to help you when you're alone, but you must come to him. Okay, that was a reminder that I had from the crucifixion. The cross, the carrying of the load, because this is still real life here. In the world you have tribulation, and this is a reminder of how we're supposed to go through it. Jesus couldn't carry his own cross. Now, in his humanity he couldn't. That's why he had to get someone to help him. In his deity, he definitely had the capability. And we'll see that and see the tension. Jesus couldn't save himself. Now, you really need to think about this. And I did it in this terminology to cause us, to challenge us to think. Jesus couldn't save himself. Well, in one way, he definitely could. We know that from Scripture. What does he say in Mark chapter 31? Likewise, the chief priests also mocking him. They said, they were challenging him. Save yourself. Get yourself down from the cross. Notice what the response was in Matthew in the Synoptic Gospel on the same topic. His response was, "Do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" You know what? We know what he was saying? Listen, I have no problem controlling the situation. I have the power, the capability, but this is not the time to use that. John chapter 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." He knew his mission. A little later in that same chapter, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again." You notice who is in control here? He went to the cross willingly, but he didn't save himself, because if he had, we would have been the losers. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." That's why I pointed out that he was with a loud voice at the end. It was one more testimony. He hadn't lost control of the situation. He was totally in control of the situation and was being absolutely submissive to the plan. And why was he doing that? He was doing that because you are a wicked person. And I am a wicked person, and he loves us anyway. And he died paying the price for our sins, substitutionally. Romans chapter 5. "But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." He was dying so that we didn't have to go to hell. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son," which is in fact what the case was, when we were enemies of God, he died on our behalf, "much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." He is now at the right hand of God the Father. And if he's willing to do that when we were wicked, now that we have been given his righteousness, do you think he's not going to be active in our life? To guide our lives and take care of us and watch us, guide us through the challenges of our life here? I'm comforted that he will. He's already demonstrated his level of commitment, which was total. 2 Corinthians. Now all these things are of God, who has reconciled to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. My point for showing 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is that he had a plan, and it was connecting us with God the Father. And his plan of going to the cross and not taking the shortcut, doing it God the Father's way, was all about providing us the opportunity to be united with God so that we can refer to our Father as Abba, Father. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." I just wanted to point out he's in control. But in control, he said, "I'm not getting down from the cross. I'm going all the way through. For us." Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus couldn't carry his own cross, but he's there for us. And he's told us that he'll help us carry ours. Because he understands humanity. That's the point, is that he understands where we are. He understands what it's like to be worn out. And some of us know what that feels like. And it's a good reminder that our God is always there and knows exactly what that's like. Number two, he couldn't save himself if he was going to fulfill the plan. And so he didn't save himself because he loved us so much. And then third, Jesus experienced separation from God. Why did he do that? So that we can be connected with God, reconciled to God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Isaiah 53:6, hundreds of years before, spoke to the problem. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now here's the point. Some in here are still doing this. You're trying to write the gospel in your terms. You're trying to do God in your way. It's all about us defining what we're going to agree to and what we're going to do in life. And it's our life, and it's my life. I'm going to live it my way. Well, that is a bunch of garbage. I'm telling you, that is a wicked, evil thought process. Repent of it. Scripture pointed to the problem. We have this part, our fleshly side, that wants to do our own thing. But Jesus came here and paid the price. Isn't that beautiful? If you've been saved a long time, it's still beautiful. It's still in effect. And we got to be celebrating, and we got to be so excited about it that we tell others about it. The 2 Corinthians passage ends by this: for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, as in Christ. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he substitutionally died on the cross, to pay the price that God the Father said had to be paid for sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 said, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Now look at this last part. Many in here would give clear testimony that Christ has bore their sins on the cross. But having died to sins, which is what happens when we really come to know Jesus Christ, might live for righteousness. Are you living for righteousness? Or are you still living for self? And some people that profess to know Jesus Christ seem to continue to live for self, and shame on you. You're running contrary to what should be stirring your heart to say, no, he's done so much for me. Man, I am going to live for him. By whose stripes we are healed. Going back to the Isaiah passage, the verse just before, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We truly serve a great God who loved us so much that he took upon himself the cross. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, we read this earlier, knowing that a man is not justified by the works. You and I are not good enough. Even the very best we can do is still like filthy rags. It is what he has done, and we can only have it imputed to us by faith in Christ and what he has done, the person and work of Jesus Christ. So these three truths I wanted to challenge you to think about from the crucifixion account. He couldn't carry his own cross, so he can relate to us being over, in a human sense, being overburdened by the pressures of life. And we can go to him. He will know. He understands. And he will help us. Number two, he couldn't save himself because he would have messed up the plan if he would have been self-focused. What does it challenge me to do? Be mindful that I cannot be self-focused. I got to have the will of God for my life as the priority, which, by the way, will often conflict with the will of my flesh. And it will in your life, too. So you got to do right. Even if doing right may even look like to some other, so you can't do that. If you're a Christian, you would do this. No. I'm not answerable to you. I am answerable to God, and I have to be right with him in these matters. And third, Jesus experience separation from God so that we can become a child of God. Isn't that humbling?